We're going to be looking this morning at Acts chapter 19, and we're going to be starting in verse number 23. Paul's third missionary journey is reported in 1823 through 2126. This missionary journey took him through Galatia and Phrygia. In other words, he's walking across Turkey, and eventually to Ephesus, which is at the western end of Turkey, where he spent 2 to 3 years. Trouble arose in Ephesus as a result of the success of the gospel. It was instigated by a silversmith named Demetrius. The trouble developed over the effect Christianity was having on the business of making idols. Paul was credited with turning many people from idolatry, that his teaching was seen as bringing an end to the manufacture of idols and the eventual destruction of the worship of Diana. Gaius and Aristarchus were seized and rushed into the theater. Although Paul wanted to enter the theater, the disciples prevented his doing so. In addition, friends of Paul who were in leadership positions in Asia warned him not to enter the theater. The assembly was confused. A Jewish man named Alexander wished to defend the Jews so that the crowd would know that the Jews had nothing to do with Paul's ministry. When the crowd learned that he was a Jew, they shouted for 2 hours about the greatness of Diana. The town clerk spoke in order to settle the crowd down and then sent the crowd away. Now, I have printed for you the text of Acts 19, 23 through 41, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to read that for you at this time. You have it there. You may refer to it, or you may read it some other time. As we move on past that text, we see that Acts verses 23 through 41 detail trouble which arose in Ephesus as a result of the success of the gospel. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way, and transitions to what happened during Paul's stay in Ephesus in the sense of then or now. The same time is at or during that time. There arose no small stir is not a little, meaning no little or no small, but a great or a severe commotion or disturbance developed or came about. About that way is concerning the way, meaning the way concerning the teaching of Jesus Christ and the Christian life. The way as a term, or that way, is used also in Acts 9:2, 18:25 and 26, 19:9, 22:4, 24:14, and 24:22. So you can see it is not an uncommon expression. And desired of him in Acts 9:2 letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Acts 18:25 and 26, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Acts 19:9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Acts 22:4. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I God, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And then in Acts 24:22, we read, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. So, as you can see, the words this way or that way or the way were common, and they were referring to the way of Christianity. As we move into verse 24, we see that it introduces Demetrius as the instigator of the trouble that believers faced in Ephesus. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. For introduces an explanation of what started the disturbance. A certain man is somebody or someone named Demetrius, with the name Demetrius. He was a silversmith, someone who made things out of silver, which made silver shrines for Diana. It's used to describe silversmith, and it suggests who made or who was making silver temples for Artemis, a pagan goddess. These would have been replicas of the temple of Artemis. Now you notice that sometimes I use the word Artemis and sometimes Diana. And this is because Diana is the Roman name of Artemis, or Artemis is the Greek name of Diana. You have to understand they're referring to the same individual. Made might instead be used in conjunction with brought, indicating cause, and be understood in the sense of because he made silver temples for Artemis. Brought suggests was bringing or was causing, and what he was bringing was no small gain, meaning no little profit, which means a great profit unto the craftsmen or to the artisans or designers. It is used in this verse in reference to other silversmiths, including himself. They were getting rich by making these idols out of silver and then selling them. But if all of a sudden you couldn't sell them anymore because so many had gotten saved, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to keep your employees? How are you going to live luxuriously? It got under his skin a little bit, didn't it? Yes, well, it happens when people get saved. They change things they used to do. They don't do them anymore. Verses 25 through 27 indicate that the trouble arose over the effect Christianity was having on their business of making and selling idols, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth, whom, of course, is referring to the silversmiths. In the Greek text, he, which refers to Demetrius, functions as a subject of said. He, meaning Demetrius, said, he called together, which means he gathered or brought together, and it's used in conjunction with said, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said. It may instead be understood as showing time, in the sense of after he called together, or after he gathered, or after he brought together. Having called together is the literal expression. With the workmen of like occupation indicates others whom Demetrius brought together in addition to the silversmith. It is, and the workers occupied with things such as these, or with similar things, with making similar things, or things similar to what the silversmiths were making. So you've got not only the ones making the idols, but you've got others that were making other things. Said introduces what Demetrius asserted or declared, and what he said goes on through verse 27. Sirs is simply men. Ye know that implies you're acquainted with the fact that by this craft, means from this trade or from this business, we have our wealth, suggests is our prosperity. Their income was dependent on selling the things they made, and the proclamation of the gospel was cutting into their sales, and therefore was cutting into their income. By this craft has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally that from this business is our prosperity. In verse 26, Paul is credited with turning people away from idolatry. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. Moreover, the word ordinarily is the word ordinarily translated and. Here it's used in the emphatic sense of indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. Ye see and hear is, you silversmiths and workers in similar trades are seeing and hearing. Not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia indicates those places where Paul's ministry was having an adverse effect on the manufacture and sale of idols and things related to their worship. Sounds like wherever Paul went, people got saved, and when they got saved, they were no longer buying these idols. Not alone at Ephesus is simply not only in Ephesus, but introduces a statement in strong contrast to not alone at Ephesus. Almost is nearly. Throughout all Asia is in all Asia Minor. That this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. In the Greek text, this Paul functions as the subject of hath turned away, hath persuaded, which means he has convinced. It's used in conjunction with hath turned away, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of hath turned away. It may instead be used to show cause and be understood in the sense of because he has persuaded them, or because he has convinced them and turned away much people is has misled a large crowd. It's interesting that a godly man would be misleading people, but the idolaters thought he was. Saying is used in conjunction with turned away, indicating how Paul had turned all these people away, or indicating cause. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of turned away. If showing how he has turned them away, it's understood in the sense of by saying, or by repeatedly saying. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because he is saying, or because he is repeatedly saying. And what Paul has been saying is introduced by that. Paul was saying, they be no gods which are made with hands. The ones which are being made or manufactured with hands are not gods, but these people believe them to be gods. So Paul's contradicting what they're believing. According to verse 27, Paul's teaching was perceived to be bringing an end not only to their manufacture of idols, but also eventually to destroying the work of or the worship of Diana, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. So that transitions to Demetrius' statement regarding the result of Paul's teaching. Not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, suggest not only is this trade or business in danger for us to come into disrepute, but also introduces another danger expressed by Demetrius, that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. That the temple of the great Diana, a great goddess Diana, should be despised, is that the great temple of the goddess Artemis should be considered, should be looked upon, should be evaluated, or should be estimated as nothing or as worthless. As nothing or as worthless has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally that the great temple of the goddess Artemis, as nothing or as worthless, be considered, be looked on, be evaluated, or be estimated, and her magnificence should be destroyed, and also her great magnificence, her grandeur, majesty, splendor, or greatness be destroyed or suffer loss, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth, refers to Artemis. It is whom, meaning Artemis, all Asia and the inhabited world is worshiping. Now, Asia is Asia Minor. All Asia and the inhabited world is worshiping. Asia is, as I said, Asia Minor. It's located in present-day Turkey. It is not referring to the continent of Asia, which would include places like India, China, or Japan in our day. According to verse 28, Demetrius' statements incited the idol makers in Ephesus. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And transitions to the reaction of the workers Demetrius had gathered together to the things he had said in the sense of now and then or so. When they heard these things, where they refers to the workers who were listening to what Demetrius had to say, it's used in conjunction with cried out, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of cried out. And it's been translated as indicating time. And it's understood in the sense of after they heard these sayings. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because they heard these sayings. As you can tell by the italics, these sayings, which refers to the things that Demetrius was saying, has been supplied by the translators. Well, it's been implied in the context, so it's appropriate. They were full of wrath. It's used in conjunction with cried out, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of cried out. It may instead be understood as indicating time or cause. So if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they became full of wrath. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because they became full of wrath. Then they cried out. They were crying out, or they began shouting. Saying indicates or introduces what they were shouting. It's used in conjunction with cried out, and it's indicating a fact in addition to cried out in the sense of and were saying. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. What they were shouting is, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," or "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And they kept repeating that and repeating that and repeating that as loudly as they could. Of course, I've already said it, but I remind you that Diana is the Roman name for the goddess Artemis. Ephesus was the center of her worship in Asia Minor. Great, which speaks of Artemis' importance, has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. According to verse 29, Gaius and Aristarchus were seized and rushed into the theater. How'd you like to be one of two people that a mob grabbed and was hustling into a theater where you might be fed to animals, for all you know, to lions? And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. The whole city means the entire city and refers to Ephesus. It wasn't just a small group. It was the entire population of Ephesus was filled with confusion, or was filled with tumult, or full of uproar, and having caught, meaning having seized, Gaius and Aristarchus. It's used in conjunction with rushed. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of rushed, and it's been translated as showing effect in addition to rushed, and it's understood in the sense of they caught, or they seized Gaius and Aristarchus. It may instead be understood as showing time in the sense of after they caught or after they seized Gaius and Aristarchus. They, meaning Gaius and Aristarchus, are described as men of Macedonia. They are Paul's companions in travel, meaning as Macedonians, Paul's traveling companions. They were believers from Macedonia. Now that's northern Greece. You know, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, those towns. Remember that God allowed this event in the lives of Gaius and Aristarchus and was in complete control of the situation, regardless of how Gaius and Aristarchus may have perceived it at this moment. You and I know that God's in control of you and everything you experienced this past week or will experience in the next few weeks. That doesn't necessarily make you comfortable because of some of the things that might occur in your life in the coming times. But it's interesting. They rushed with one accord into the theater. They rushed with one mind or with one impulse or with one purpose into the theater. Their one purpose is not delineated, but it does not appear to be good. How'd you like to have been Gaius or Aristarchus? Might you have been thinking that you weren't going to live long? You might be tortured, tormented, who knows? According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, the theater in Ephesus was the largest place for an assembly of people in the city, and it was capable of seating 25,000 people. Okay? Now, that's not quite as big as your NFL football stadiums, but it's still a pretty good-sized number. Many towns are not that large. According to verse 30, although Paul wanted to enter the theater, the disciples prevented his doing. So you suppose some big, strong men grabbed him and wouldn't let him go? That's my guess, but I don't know that. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And, of course, transitions to what Paul wished to do, and it's understood in the sense of then or now. When Paul would have entered into the temple, it's used in conjunction with suffered, indicating time or concession. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of suffered. It's been translated as indicating time, in the sense of while Paul was wishing, while he was wanting, or while he was desiring to enter the assembly. If showing concession, it's understood in the sense of although Paul was wishing, although Paul was wanting, or although Paul was desiring to enter the assembly. The disciples suffered him not. Means the disciples were not allowing him, they were not letting him, or they were not permitting him. Now, if you were Paul, you'd want to get in there. But remember that God allowed this event in the life of Paul and was in complete control of the situation, regardless of how Paul may have perceived it at this instant. What did you experience this week? Something exciting? Something that was maybe a little frightening? Who was in control? You know God was. Aren't we glad for that? The disciples did not let him do it. Good for them. The mob would likely have tried to kill him as well. According to verse 31, friends of Paul who were in leadership positions in Asia warned him not to enter the theater. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. They knew what might happen. They were leaders in the town of Ephesus. And is a translation of two words here, which are used in the sense of and also or but also. Certain of the chief of Asia is some of the Asiarchs, which means some of the officials of this province of Asia, which were his friends, suggests who were Paul's friends. Sent unto him, meaning sent to Paul, and it's used in conjunction with desiring, indicating a fact in addition to desiring. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of desiring, and it suggests they sent word or a message to Paul, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater, suggests they were urging or imploring that he himself not go or not venture into the theater. Verse 32 details the confusion in the assembly. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Therefore implies continuation of what was happening in the assembly in the sense of so then or so then. Some cried one thing as some people in the theater were shouting something. And some another suggests, and some people in the theater were shouting another thing. And it appears that each group kept repeating what it was shouting. For the assembly was confused, provided as an explanation of why some were shouting one thing and others were shouting something else. The assembly refers to the group of people who had rushed into the theater. The tense of was denotes ongoing action in past time. Confused is used to describe assembly. Its tense denotes a state of being. Its action had occurred in the past and it was still in effect. They were still in a state of having been confused. And is used in an emphatic sense as indeed, in fact, really, or certainly. The more part suggests the most, meaning most of them knew not wherefore they were come together. They did not know for what reason or for what cause or why they had come together. They were just there. They happened to see a big crowd going here, so they went along. Did not know why they had gathered or why they had assembled. In verse 33, a Jewish man named Alexander wished to make his defense before the crowd. It's not clear who Alexander was, but he may have been the same Alexander Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 4:14, which says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, the Lord reward him according to his works. Another Alexander is also mentioned in 1 Timothy 1:20, which says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, whether they are both referring to the same individual, or whether either of them is the same man mentioned in Acts 19:33, it's not clear. We could have three different Alexanders. You could have one. You could have two. We don't know how many of them were the same individual. It might have been none of them. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. And, again, transitions to the next thing that happened in the sense of now or then. Did you ever get the idea that the Jewish writers kept using the word and? Yes. Do we sometimes have people that do that in our country also? Yes, we do. And. I'll try not to keep saying that. They, which refers to some Jews who were present, drew Alexander out of the multitude. It means they caused Alexander to come forward out of the crowd. The Jews putting Alexander forward is used in conjunction with drew, indicating a fact in addition to drew. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of drew. It is the Jews pushing him forward. This identifies who's meant by they in the previous phrase. Because of the anti-Semitism in Ephesus, and since Paul was a Jew, the Jews wanted to distance themselves from the believers so that the mob would not also turn on them. They wanted to make certain that the mob knew that they were not in any way allied with Paul. And transitions to the next thing, which occurred. Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. In the Greek text, Alexander is the subject of would. Beckoned with his hand is used in conjunction with would, indicating a fact in addition to would. Its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of would. It's understood in the sense of he shook his hand or he waved his hand in order to get the crowd to listen to him. and would have made his defense unto the people, would be, and was wishing to defend himself to the crowd or assembly. He apparently didn't accomplish what he wanted to, and that's why he was wishing to do it. So what was Alexander seeking to defend? Was it that the Jews were not responsible for the decrease in revenue from the sale of these silver shrines? As worshipers of the one God of Israel, they should have been responsible for this decrease, but they weren't. According to verse 34, upon learning that Alexander was a Jew that did it for the people, the crowd shouted for 2 hours about the greatness of Diana. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And they kept repeating that and repeating that and repeating that. Bud introduces a statement in mild contrast to Alexander's attempt to defend himself to the crowd. When they, meaning when the crowd, knew that he, meaning that Alexander, was a Jew, it's used in conjunction with cried out, indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of cried out. It's been translated as indicating time in the sense of after they knew or after they perceived that he was a Jew. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because they knew or because they perceived that he was a Jew. All with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out. One voice from all for about 2 hours was crying out or was shouting. And what they were shouting repeatedly in unison was, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," or "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." They'd already been shouting this in verse 28, now they're shouting it again. Diana is the Roman name for the goddess Artemis. I've said that several times. I hope the abundance of my repeating it makes you realize it, okay, and remember it. Ephesus was the center of her worship in Asia Minor. Great speaks of Artemis' importance and has again been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained for us in the King James translation. According to verses 35 to 40, the town clerk, who was undoubtedly pretty nervous about what was happening, he's in charge of the town, in order to settle the crowd down, he spoke. You have to understand, the Romans didn't like mob scenes like this, and the Romans might, if they learned about this, they might come in and execute him and others, simply because they were unruly, uncontrolling as far as the town was concerned. We'd have a lot fewer politicians in our society if that happened to some of them that just keep making all kinds of nonsensical statements. When the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Sounds like this image was a meteorite that had come down and it had not been totally consumed as it fell, and it was then worshipped as a god. And transitions from the unrest in the theater at Ephesus to what the town clerk said in the sense of then or now. When the town clerk had appeased the people, it's used in conjunction with said. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said. It's been translated as showing time. And it's understood in the sense of after the town clerk had appeased the crowd. It may instead be understood as showing effect in addition to said, in the sense of the town clerk appeased the crowd. The town or the city clerk would have been the chief executive officer of Ephesus. Had appeased suggests had restrained or had quieted the people in the crowd in the theater of Ephesus, who for 2 hours kept shouting in unison, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." He, the town clerk, said, introduces his admonition to the unruly crowd. He addressed them as, "Ye men of Ephesus," Ephesian men, or men of Ephesus. He then asks the question, "What man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" What man is there? Who's the man? The generic term for human being could be a female as well as a male. "That knoweth not," who does not know, who does not understand, who does not comprehend, or who does not realize how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter, suggests that the Ephesians is the honorary temple keeper and temple guardian of the great goddess Artemis, whose Roman name was Diana, and of the image of Artemis fallen from heaven, literally fallen from Zeus. In Greek mythology, Zeus was the god of the sky and ruler of the Olympian gods. His Roman name was Jupiter. When the town clerk said to the crowd, town clerk said to the crowd in the theater, continues in verse 36, "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly," then introduces an inference drawn from what the town clerk stated in verse 35, and it's understood in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, or so. "Seeing that these things cannot be spoken against" is used in conjunction with the word "ought," indicating cause, in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that these things are not to be contradicted, meaning these things are undeniable. By these things, the town clerk is referring to what he said in the previous verse. "Ye ought to be quiet. It's fitting that you should be calm," or that you should restrain yourselves, "and do nothing rashly," suggests, and do nothing that is rash or reckless or thoughtless. Nothing has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, "and nothing that is rash you do." Verse 37 continues what the town clerk said to the crowd in the theater, "For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess." For continues the town clerk's statement to the crowd in the sense of now, "Ye have brought together these men." You have brought these men here, meaning Gaius and Aristarchus, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Hither, or here, suggests to the theater, "which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess," describes men who are neither temple robbers nor blasphemers of your goddess. Verse 38 continues what the town clerk said, "Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open and there are deputies. Let them implead one another." Wherefore is used to continue the statement. Therefore, accordingly, consequently, then, or so, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, it's a condition in a conditional statement. Its structure in the Greek text implies that for the sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true. However, it was not certain that it was actually true, so if should be understood in the sense of assuming that. Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him, is Demetrius and the craftsmen or artisans a reference to the silversmiths which are with him means who are with Demetrius? Have a matter against any, is have a complaint against someone, against somebody, against anyone or against anybody. The law is open and there are deputies. It suggests the courts are meeting or are in session. Let them implead one another is the translation of a third person imperative for which English has no equivalent. It means they, those who have complaints against others, must bring charges against or accuse one another or each other, and implies in the courts. Do it legally. Verse 39 continues what the town clerk said, but if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly, which of course implies that what they had was an unlawful assembly, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to what he had said in verse 38, or maybe just transitioning. If ye inquire anything concerning other matters, is a condition and a conditional statement, and as I've said previously, for sake of discussion, it's assumed to be true. But since it's not known if it's actually true, if should be understood in the sense of assuming that. It may be true, but it may not be true. Ye inquire. You are inquiring or wanting to know anything or something concerning other matters implies about other things of a different kind. Anything concerning other matters has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, but or now assuming that anything about other things of a different kind you're wanting to know. It shall be determined in a lawful assembly is the conclusion of this conditional statement. It shall be determined means it will be resolved, decided, or settled. And it implies that there are not to be any more assemblies like the one that has occurred on this day. In a lawful assembly, suggesting a legal assembly in contrast to one convened by a mob. It must be one that meets in accordance with the law. The word the appears before assembly and may suggest in the regular assembly. In a lawful assembly has been placed in a position of emphasis which reads literally, in the legal assembly it will be resolved. And then the man concludes his remarks, for we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account for this concourse. For is the translation of two words, which in the Greek text are used together for also, for even, or for indeed, we, referring to the people of Ephesus, we are in danger, suggests we're running a risk. To be called in question for this day's uproar suggests to be accused or to have charges brought against us concerning today's riot. There being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse, it's used to show cause. We are in danger. There being no cause is understood in the sense of because. since inasmuch as or in view of the fact that no cause or no reason exists whereby, that is about or concerning which, we may give an account of this, we'll be able to give an account of this commotion. The Romans would not have been pleased if they learned of this riot and might have taken some action against Ephesus and its leaders. They kept the peace throughout the Roman Empire by not permitting things like this to go on. We refers to the people in Ephesus, particularly the leaders. Verse 41, the town clerk sent the crowd away, and when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And continues the narrative. When he, meaning the town clerk, had thus spoken, it's used in conjunction with dismissed, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of dismissed, and it's understood in the sense of after he had said these things. These things has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and these things after he said. He dismissed the assembly means he sent the assembly away. I wonder how long it took Paul, Aristarchus, and Gaius to settle down. Suppose they slept well that night. They might have still been imagining what was going on. But let's just give you a historical note. It was during Paul's stay in Ephesus that he wrote 1 Corinthians. In addition, according to 1 Corinthians 5:9, Paul also wrote another letter to the church at Corinth, but it was not preserved by the Holy Spirit. So after proclaiming the gospel and teaching the believers in Ephesus for 2 to 3 years, great opposition arose. What can we learn from this? Don't be shocked if you and I encounter opposition to our teaching the gospel and to our proclaiming the teachings of the Bible. Opposition is to be expected. But when it does arise, we all need to be certain that we continue living for the Lord and proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming Christian living as taught in the Bible. We need to be what God expects us to be. Let him take care of the commotion. We have finished. I'm sorry it's so long. Sort of sorry. Maybe I'm not sorry at all. I wanted to give you everything that I could on this text. Very interesting text. I'm sure you can be happy you weren't there as being part of that group that was taken into custody inside that theater with 25,000 people hollering at you. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, thank you for this passage and your word. Help us, our Father, to learn it, to study it, and to make application to our own lives from it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.